Welcome to The Word in 10, a podcast of Dwell Community Church. I'm Jim Leffel, longtime teacher here at Dwell. And I wanted to share from the book of Job, chapter 19, verses 23 to 27, a reflection that we call, I Shall See God. The context of this reflection was the fact that last week I spoke at the funeral of a family member. A member of our family who had experienced for decades tremendous suffering, and he had multiple strokes, multiple heart attacks, he was a diabetic, he lived in constant pain, and a year and a half ago, his wife of 38 years died. And so, yes, here's a man who's aware of sorrow, of pain, and of grief. And in prayerfully reflecting on his life, the Lord nudged me to this passage in Job that both captures the time of remembrance and helped me also to see tremendous hope from what may seem like an unlikely source. Job, as we find out, is about more than his suffering, his poor treatment by his so-called comforters, his penetrating questions that he asks of God. There is actually in Job a beautiful picture of hope and faith. We begin by verses 23 and 24. Through the raw emotion of his massive loss, the uncomprehending accusations of his comforters, and the painful questions that Job directs towards God, he says, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that with an iron stylus and lead they were engraved in the rock forever." Job has a testimony. He has something he wants to say. He wants this to be a permanent record. Like all of us, Job wanted his life to be remembered. He had something to say, and he wanted it to be etched literally into history. So what was it that this man of sorrow wanted us to know? Was it his protests, his complaints, his doubts, his agony? Actually, none of these things. He says in verse 25 and following, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that the last he will take his stand on earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see, and not another's. My heart faints within me." Well, this is a stunning message of hope in the face of loss, of suffering, of confusion. Job knows that his suffering in this life is not the end of the story. And so in this way, this confession, this testimony that Job has for us in chapter 19 sets into context Job's entire narrative. It puts in context his doubts, his disputes with God. These are not mere complaints, anger. They are rather faith that seeks understanding. And this is how we should read Job and the exchanges that he has with God and all of the laments actually of the Old Testament. These are not detached statements of anger directed towards a God who isn't there or who isn't sufficiently engaged. No, it is faith that seeks to understand how God is working in the terrible situation that the author finds himself in. And this kind of central point in the narrative of Job, where he makes this great statement of hope that he shall in his flesh see God, is really the catalyst for us to understand the whole theology of the book. Job knew God as his Redeemer. Who is God? God is Goel in the Hebrew. He is Redeemer. We read in Psalm 49 in verse 7 that no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease striving forever, that he should go and live on eternally and not undergo decay. There is no earthly solution. There is no earthly redemption to all of the broken things that make up our life. But he says in verse 15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, and he will receive me. Job knew that in the final analysis, that God was his redeemer, and that God would offer him the forgiveness that he required as a sinful man, and that God would restore his life, that he would redeem him from the pit, that he would even take the broken parts of Job's life and turn it into a monument of God's grace and mercy, glorifying God and satisfying to Job. Facing his suffering in hope, he says, I shall see God. Because of redemption, what was wrong will be made right. And so we see, interestingly, in these words of Job, a confidence not in himself or in his circumstances for sure, but a confidence in God, God's character, and God's actions on his behalf. And Job's hope is our hope in a couple of important ways. We too, like Job, look to a future redemption. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Yes, our sufferings are real, but they are like birth pangs preparing us for the new life that God has for us in our future. And then, profoundly, we too will see God like Job did, like Job hoped, and be transformed in his presence. I love what John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared yet what we shall be. But, he says, we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because, like Job, we will see him just as he is. And just imagine the transformation that awaits us. Imagine all of us as whole and complete in Christ. This is the hope that sustained Job's soul. This is the hope that enabled him to process the false comforts that his friends were giving him and to stand before God with his complaints, seeking an understanding of how these things fit into God's redemptive plan for his life. My brother-in-law, Harry, had a testimony, and despite his sufferings, he was a man of hope in Jesus Christ. He knew the sufferings of this world all too well, but he knew his Redeemer also. And for this reason, Harry, on the one hand, lived a tragic life in those last years. On the other hand, they meant something because these two would be things subject to God's redemption. This passage is important to me because it reminds me that all of us in Christ, no matter how broken, no matter how damaged, no matter how hard-hearted we may be, will, in the presence of Christ, as we see him as he is, become something more beautiful, more majestic than anyone on this earth can truly comprehend. Christ's glory is transforming us. So I need to look at all of God's people through this lens. And my view, my opportunities to serve, to move toward them, no matter how broken, is an investment into the perfection that awaits them. How Job calls us and his hope that he will see his Redeemer speaks to our need to look at others, even the least of these, as Jesus said, the unseemly, to the broken in this world, through the lens of eternity, to recognize that in the presence of Christ, the most broken person you know is the most beautiful person you will ever meet. And that's true of us. It's true of your life. Yes, you're broken. We all are. But that is not the end of the story. There is a Redeemer in whose presence you will be transformed. And so there is an opportunity here, like Job, yes, to recognize the suffering that we have for what it is, but also to live in the hope of our future redemption, to realize that even the painful things in our life are allowed to us by a loving Heavenly Father, and that these things also can be redeemed, they can be used for His glory and for our good. And so let us have the heart of Job as we move forward in the complicated world that we live in. And thank you for this time to explore Job chapter 19 with me, and we'll see you another time in the Word in 10. God bless.